League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball over the middle.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Hello, Tori.
And your boy Jay Scar.
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir. What's good, y'all boys? How was y'all weekend, man? How's everything going?
Happy 4th of July to everybody. Hope you guys had a good 4th of July. What did everybody do?
I chill, anybody? Man. Say hello. Yo, what's up with it, man? This audio was, I had a little audio lag right there for a second, but I had a great 4th of July weekend, man. Went down to pick my daughter up from FIU. She's doing summer A, so it felt like it was like a real break. Like she's been gone for a very long time, but she hasn't. So went down there, bro. Right, it felt like, bro, like she's been going away for
one month, for like 3 years already.
Yes, yes. But picked her up, kicked it, you know, didn't get into a whole lot of fireworks or anything like that. We went out to dinner instead of a whole eating at the cookouts and whatnot. So we ate at Blackbird in Jupiter. If you're in Palm Beach County, go check it out.
No free ads.
No free ads.
By the way, I've been waiting to try that. We'll talk about that another time, I guess.
Yeah. Definitely check it out, bro. Great. Just ambiance, the food, drink, service, everything's on point, man. Try that top bar too. Regardless of the bar, if you got the kids, it's still the table upstairs. But try upstairs. It's a good little vibe. Upstairs. I want to go check that out. They sat us downstairs, but I went up upstairs just to check the vibes, and it's pretty dope. But that's all we did, man. Just kept it low key, spent time with the family, fishing, dinner, no fireworks, didn't blow my hand off or anything crazy. Did you get the cannon out there?
No cannon this year. No cannon this year. I think those cannon days are behind me. You know, changing life. The cannon plug is gone.
Let me stop you real quick. There's three dads here. New dad, washed.
Right.
75% of the show is washed. We need to live vicariously through your mini cannon shenanigans on the 4th. If not for that, what could I possibly have to look forward to in my
life? Good point. I will work on procuring a cannon for next year. Yep, I will do. I do whatever I can to get back into my cannon bag. But it was a more relaxing 4th of July this year than normal, which was great. But I do want to give a special shout out to a new friend that I made Saturday night named Tyrone. He was a bouncer at a bar that we ended up at Saturday night. White Tyrone. He's not.
No way.
I walk not to the bathroom.
Not Caucasian.
He's not. No. And Tyrone knows who he is. Tyrone knows. He goes, you're that guy.
50 stories up in the air, looking off into what I'm sure is a beautiful sunset.
The abyss.
Tyrone knows who he is.
Yeah, no, Tyrone, I told him I'd give him a shout out. So Tyrone was standing near the bathroom and he's like, "You're the guy from that Gator YouTube show." I'm like, yeah. He's like, "Big fan. of all of you guys. It's like I watch every week. I'm like, man, I appreciate that. And, you know, went on my way. Fortunately, can't meet anybody in the bathroom here, just a one stall bathroom. But I did hear outside of the door. He's like, dude, he's like, that guy's a really big deal from like the Stadium and Gale podcast. He's like, are you guys Florida Gator fans? I'm like, all right. And I'm in the back of my mind, I'm like, Tyrone, we need to bring you on the old marketing team over here. So shout out to Tyrone.
Straight up.
From the Dog Saloon in South Tampa. Shout out to Tyrone.
Nice, 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 man. Appreciate it.
I was going to say, Tyrone, not a real listener, because he wouldn't have held on to that greeting until you were in the bathroom. But
it's a one theater. It's a one star. It got weird. He got in there.
He didn't want to make it.
Security guard Tyrone's got the janitor keys. All of a sudden, your single use stall is open. Hey, are you that guy from the podcast?
I would not be giving Tyrone a shout out if that was
like, like the Mike Epps Christmas scene when he in the bathroom.
I was just about to say he gonna turn into Damon real quick.
Not Mike Epps. That was Cat Williams.
You guys are nuts. How was your weekend, Jordan?
It was pretty good, man. I ended up going out to Indian Town to my uncle's spot. Whole fam linked up out there. You know, we had all the – they brought me back with the sack race. We had sack race out there, slip and slide. Nice. Yeah, man. A couple hamstrings got pulled. People thought they was that guy. but yeah, it was a good weekend overall, man. The kids had a blast. We had some fireworks out there, of course. And, yeah, it's just pretty simple dad weekend, but we found a way to kick it and have fun.
Nice, man.
Hey, Nick, I've got a question for you. This came up on 4th of July. Could you beat Usain Bolt in a 100-yard or 100-meter dash if he was running backwards?
No.
I lean
towards no, but I want to see him run backwards.
We're going. We're raw dogging this competition, Nick. You don't know, awesome. And you're going. You think you could beat him?
I would like to see what he looks like running backwards. I feel like there's an opportunity for him to trip, but like,
yeah,
no, probably not.
No homo, okay. Them legs long.
Yeah,
I'd like to think there would be a yes that I could beat a man in a race if he's turned the wrong way and going in reverse like Terry. Shout out to 4th of July. Shout out to Terry.
Nice reference. Good reference, bro.
But yeah, like I would like to think so, but I'm not as confident as I would like to be.
Okay.
Your ego is talking, bro. You're not running Usain backwards, man.
He's backwards, though. Okay. Like
I got Dion beating you backwards with missing toes.
No. I might beat Dion forwards right now. Dion can barely walk. Then me and Dion can just line it up right now. I don't know. I don't know that Dion can walk.
That's hilarious.
All right, let's get into the show. Let's give Brunt some love, and then we will get into an action-packed show here.
Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured in the Southeast, but most importantly, from the Florida to the Keys, my man Greg can take care of you. It's a free quote. Bruntinsurance.com. You can go check him out. I'm pretty sure he can save you some money. It don't cost nothing to see if you can save some money. If you don't like the internet and you still old school, you can give him a call at 954-589-2204. Greg, the best in the business.
Greg, what'd it do, baby? STA Pride for Greg.
Yeah, STA Pride. And I see you in the comments, big dog.
You guys are everywhere.
Yeah, now we got him in the comments, man. We gotta get
STA run deep, bro. It's just hard to get rid of us. I'm sorry.
Stephen Hillen played baseball with me. He can attest to my sneaky speed.
He did also say no, Nick.
He did say no. And if I remember correctly, Stephen was more athletic than you were. So I don't know that. But all right, let's get in.
To lead the witness, man. You try to lead him. Stephen can attest. Go ahead, man.
July 27th, First Magnitude Brewing in Gainesville from 2 o'clock until 5 o'clock. Come hang out with us. This is Independent Gator Media Day presented by the Sachs Law Group. We're going to do a live media panel. We're going to have special guests, Q&A session, and a meet and greet with a number of players. This is an event that we're putting on with High Top Sports and Gators Breakdown. Players that are scheduled to appear. This is not an exhaustive list. Vernell Brown III, Pup Howard, Jacoby Jackson, Jane Robinson, Drake Stubbs, Treyon Webb, and Jaden Wood. So come hang out. Tickets are available. We will drop the link on YouTube right now, and that should show up on your YouTube feed as well. It's a posh.vip link. So go check that out. We'd love to have you. We appreciate everybody that signed up so far. But again, Independent Gator Media Day, July 27th at 2 p.m. at First Magnitude Brewing in Gainesville, Florida. All right, guys. So a lot has happened in the last week from a recruiting perspective. The Gators grabbed three more commits since we recorded last Monday. Kendall Gerville was the first to announce. He is a four-star. He is ranked as the 134th best player in the country, the number 12 defensive lineman, and the number 14 player in Florida on the On3 industry rankings. He picked Florida over Georgia, Florida State, Texas, Miami, and a number of other schools. Defensive lineman, 6'4", 315 pounds. I'm going to pull up his huddle tape, but while I do that, what are y'all's thoughts on Kendall Gerville? Oh, from Fort Myers High School.
Moves. Big boy, but can move. Really quick. Gets off the line quick. Obviously, fast. I could see him as a one-gap or a two-gap kind of player. A little bit of a high school size where Jordan probably knows, you know, you get a number in your head. Or coach tells you a number to get in your head and you're just like, all right, whatever. Krispy Kremes it is. Krispy Kremes. Let me stack that Krispy Kreme inside of a double cheeseburger. We're going to get to that 315. But if you're watching here on YouTube Live, that's a big boy. Moves really quick. We're just, you know, 4 years off of saying that Dez Watson moves really good for his size. I think the same thing with Kendall here. We'll have to lose some weight to then gain some, but really, really solid player inside.
Yeah, I like the look of his tape right now. I feel like he jumps out on tape as far as his get off and stuff like that. Obviously, he's a huge guy just standing in front of all these high school dudes. You see he's dominant at the point of attack. So I like that about him. And just like Nick said, as far as size goes, I'm not too worried about that. I have a lot of faith in our strength and conditioning program and that they'll be able to get him right, the right nutrition to build his body up the way it's supposed to be and get him looking like an SEC D lineman. So I'm hyped about this one right here.
Yeah, me as well. I mean, we start bleeding on that one. After this commit, Billy pulled out the emoji shades with the exclamation point beside it. I never seen him do that. So we started bleeding a little bit. Defensive tackle was deep in state. We had a nice board of you know, guys that with similar traits, and Texas was – they was giving us all we can handle, Pauls. But Billy turned the tide. This was a kid also heavily crystal ball and favorited to go to Texas. Right before the decision, we started, you know, seeing that trend change a little bit. So shout out to Chapman. Stop bleeding where we needed to stop the bleeding. But this is a great kid. Blue chip guy. You got to keep these guys home. And it's not easy. Texas is heavily invested in the state of Florida, but I don't want to regurgitate all the things that they just said, but a great defensive tackle get.
Yeah, absolutely. 247 has him ranked as the 77th best player in the country on 3117. It's at ESPN and Rivals ranking that brings that down to 134 overall. Great guy. Great player. I think, you know, Nick, you know, mentioned can play the one or the three there. I think he's got a great burst. He looks super athletic. I have no doubt that he's going to lose some weight, but he's a mauler. He gets in the backfield and he pursues. He's not the type of guy that if he misses the player in the backfield, he's just going to stop. He's going to go chase him down and everything else. So that's a huge get for the Gators. He's a player that I could see potentially rising in the rankings as well going into next season. I talked to a buddy of mine that does some coaching down there, and they're super high on this kid. They think that he could absolutely be a five-star at some point this year. So obviously you have to continue to recruit him, but great get for the Florida Gators. The next commitment that the Gators grabbed was defensive back, cornerback, 6'1", 175 pounds from Coco High School. That's defensive back CJ Hester. He's a four-star. He's ranked on three as him ranked as the 121st best player.
Hester decided? I'm sorry, I missed that.
CJ Hester?
Yeah, I missed that one. Man.
Yeah, you sure did. Yeah, what a weekend.
What a weekend.
What a weekend for you. He committed on July the 3rd. So breaking news for Corey. CJ Hester commits to the Gators. Huge news.
Whoa. I don't know how I missed iron deficiency is how you missed that. We need to get some more iron in your diet.
Don't do that, dog. No, I got plenty of iron in my life, bro.
I don't know if you do.
Now you're a nutritionist all of a sudden, man.
Yes.
But from Coco High School, CJ Hester, the 269th player in the on-three industry rankings, which takes into consideration all four of the major sides. Even the Rivals doesn't really exist anymore. But the number 24 cornerback and the number 39 player in the country. You go back to Coco. That's where CJ Gardner was from, right?
What am I talking about? I tweeted about this, bro. I was in this weekend was a blur, bro. Everything was a blur, man. Good times.
It was a long weekend.
For sure. 100%.
What are your thoughts on CJ Hester, Corey, since you love him?
I think it's Coco's been good to us, man. Kid, just a football player, size, everything that they want at DB, bro. I think he's a guy that could play. Possibly all three DB spots. He could play corner, star, safety. I'm not sure what they recruited him at, but I like him at all three spots. Athlete, bro. Football's football player, bro. We'll talk about the Lakeland kid, as you can see right there. Like, just ball skills, on point. I think he can play off man or man. You'll see him play a little off man here, but an athlete. Plays both sides of the ball at Coco. Was he the receiver or the DB there?
He was the DB. He made himself a letter receiver, though.
Right. What you think, Jordan?
That's a good interception right there.
I think this kid is an absolute steal, man. My former offensive coordinator in high school, Ryan Snyder, is the head coach at Coco now. He actually told me that this kid is a really solid dude, smart kid. I think he has a really high GPA, above 4.0, I believe. Wow. It's like he's a leader, absolute stud. He compared him to Sam Bruce, not size-wise, but he's just saying as just an athlete, as far as he can do anything on the field and how much he loves football. When he was talking to me about him, he compared him to Sam Bruce and that, like, he loves ball, he wants to play all the time, and he'll play anywhere and do anything for the team. So I like that. I like this kid, and good to know that we got a kid with a good head on their shoulders. But like Coach Nate been doing a good job of that and bringing in good kids that got a good level head and just ready to play ball and ready to win some championships.
Yeah,
that last play was really good. Backpedal, flipped his hips, read the play, broke on the pass, broke it up.
He closed fast, bro.
You can just tell it's all natural too. It's not a hit, nothing that he can't really handle as far as it come on the football field.
Who was your OC?
Ryan Snyder at University School. He's a head coach for Coco now. He actually was a quarterback at UCF at one point. I don't know how many years ago, what class he was in at UCF, but he was a pretty well-known quarterback at UCF at his time and playing that.
Ain't gonna lie, when I watch his tape, like the big gap, you can tell a lot of it just based off of projections, because I look at his tape and I look at CJ Bronaugh tape, and I don't know how they get that big gap outside of the track. You know, speed and all of that type of stuff, mm-hmm. and other traits that, you know, evaluates him high maybe for the NFL, or like his ceiling's probably higher. But when you cut the tape on, like, this kid is just a natural DB, on ball, off ball. He could do it all, close, physicality and tackling.
He looks like he's got great hips. I mean, I know this is a highlight film, right? So we got to always, you know, exercise some caution that this is going to be probably 40 plays from an entire season, but he looks to have great hips, and he seems to know when the ball's in the air and be able to make a read and reaction very quickly. And his hands always seem to be up making an impact, whether it's a, Obviously, again, I know it's a highlight film, but
that was
good closing speed too.
That's just instinct right there. I don't know what.
Yeah, that wasn't even his assignment right there.
Maybe everybody said maybe was cover three and he's supposed to drop back like that.
No, that was two. What
the safety was doing. Okay, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, this more like a cover three right here. He just doing his job.
Yeah.
Looks like they live in cover three, to be honest.
Most high schools do.
Yeah, 3-4. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Simple stuff. So CJ Hester commits to the Gators. Glad we can break that news for you, Corey, today. And finally,
twice for me. Why did you say, bro, you celebrated that? Hello, my dude.
And finally, today, the Gators go into Lakeland and land linebacker Malik Morris, 6'1", 225 pounds, Lakeland High School, the number 209 overall player on the On3 industry rankings, the number 13 linebacker in the country, and the number 30 player in the state of Florida. I'll tell you what, man. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about him, but linebacker recruiting for the last couple years has just been kind of exactly what you expect linebacker recruiting at the University of Florida to be. So I'll let you guys break down Malik Morris here while I pull up the huddle here.
Yeah, I think it was a really solid get, man. I feel like I ain't trying to, like, you know, say like Lakeland is all hell or anything, but most dudes out of Lakeland are dogs and they really are good at ball. Overall, so I feel like we got a really good get with this guy, 4-star commit. Really can't go wrong. He's real physical at the point of attack. And yeah, I feel like he's showing speed sideline to sideline. Like you really can't beat that. And you know he loves ball. And you know he wants to be on a winning type of team. And he has a winning mentality because he went to Lakeland.
If Lakeland is like when I was there, PE magnet school, it looks like he's getting straight A's. 6'1", 225. But I think the thing that sticks out the most with him is probably his instincts. Just knows where to be, and then has the athletic ability, God-given ability to get there. But looking at a picture of this kid, doesn't look like doesn't even look like a freshman in college. Certainly doesn't look like he should be in high school. But he's physical, old school middle linebacker.
Look at that green dog. Love that. Work, go find somewhere. Go blitz and set that quarterback. Probably had the running back manned up there. Running back stays in. He goes and hunt. I like to see that. Don't just sit there. And you don't even want to know if my coach used to call that when you're just sitting there doing nothing. It's a PG show, so I'm going to leave it at that. Don't sit there and do nothing.
He doesn't still play running back, right?
Call that the Adarius.
Yeah, I love a linebacker that play running back. I love a linebacker that just play running back. He played running back and got some big runs for Lakeland. Actually, Ahmad put a clip out of his very first Lakeland practice tackling as a true freshman. He ran over some senior starting linebacker from the running back position, but a very physical kid. I want to see what he looks like in shape. I'm not saying he's in terrible shape, but he's definitely heavy. So he's put on some weight right now. I think he missed spring ball because of some type of injury. So he's a little heavier than what Florida or any program would like. Look at that, bro. Like that running back. Like, give him a couple totes. Give him a couple totes, man.
That's nuts, dude. I think
Go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, I can't imagine being like some random Polk County school and you have to line up against this kid on both sides of the field.
Yeah.
Nice.
This looks like Jordan Scarlett's highlight tape.
I ain't 6'1", 250. 6'1", 250 running at you is a little bit different. Okay, so
legit moving, see what man.
They're coming from another school and got to line up against somebody 6'1", 250 that probably just lined you up on defense. Now he about to tote the rock and probably run you over. Yeah,
I'm forgetting the so we play My junior year, I'm forgetting the name of the team we played down in Broward. There's a private school too, but they had this big running back. No, it wasn't there.
American Heritage Delray.
Nah, soft. It'll come back to me. It'll come back to me. But we were playing them, and they had this big running back, and they were singing "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round" every time they was about to hand the ball off to him, and there's nothing we can do about it, bro. Like, it was crazy. Coaches screaming on the side, like, you know what they're doing. I was like, bro, he's like 6'3", 2'4", like Brandon Jacobs back there. But there's two linebackers we got in that room now between Miles Graham and him, both play running backs, and they both have great like instincts. Like, you know where holes are gonna open, you know, tendencies, the offensive line a little bit better, you know, when you play the position. So they got traits, they got, you know, things that they want to get out of players, or they're looking for an evaluation process. But linebackers, since they got in here, they haven't missed. They've landed good linebackers every single cycle. So that room's loaded.
For sure. You got to love it when you see a dude get a punt block. Y'all don't think as much. It's a lot of dudes on that field that are scared to block a punt.
I would be scared
in that position. The hands will get tucked. They get real dinosaur-like. They're not really trying to get that finger kicked. You know he a dog when he ain't scared to block a punt.
I got to tell you a story. I broke my arm in fourth grade, and then I got my cast off. And the next day at recess, we were playing football, and we were playing probably like 500 or whatever it was. And I tipped the ball and I broke my finger like the very next day. you know what I mean? Like, I don't, and that was in fourth grade, right? You know what I mean? So I can't imagine running full speed, throwing your hands up in the air. And
if my son came home the day after we take his cast off with a broke finger, bro. Like,
well, I gotta tell you a story. My mom told me this, so she wouldn't mind. If you go in with broken bones within like a consecutive amount of time, have to have the parent leave and ask, like, what happened? I'm like, no, I'm just an idiot, right? Like, I'm just an absolute idiot. And I was not supposed to be playing football, but I hadn't played in like 6 weeks or playing anything outside. You know, it's like in fourth grade. So
yeah, you don't care about nothing.
No headlocks from Chuck and Danette this time, but man, I appreciate them. Sorry I did that. All right,
bro, we gotta give this kid a couple carries. I'm sorry, bro. Like,
nah, I'm for real.
We gotta give him a couple carries.
Well, put him at fullback, let him block for a second, and just sneak him a little handoff.
I'm telling you. He coming down here with bad intentions, brother.
I'm trying to tell you.
So that puts the Gators right now at the number 13 overall recruitment class. They have 16 total commits, 10 at 4 stars, 6 3-stars. They are right behind Florida State, who has 22 commits. So I would imagine at that next the next commitment, Florida will jump ahead of them. Then it's Clemson, then Miami at 10. Florida right now would be USC's got the number one recruiting class. Did not know that. So 1, 2, 3, 4. They're fifth in the SEC right now for recruiting. So again, Florida Gators 13th on the On3 rankings with a class average of 89.99, which is one of the top in the country. I think that's in the top 8 or 9 in the country, top 10. So Gators 16 total commits, 13th overall class. And I do not think that they are done. And I think that we can expect to see some more recruitment. Let's run through
Billy in the building, baby. You know the vibes.
The Gators did also lose 3-star defensive lineman Jameer Perez, who said that he wanted to leave Ohio State. And he wasn't interested in going to Ohio State. He said he wanted to play in the SEC. Then Ohio State offered him and chased him, and he decided that he now wanted to go to Ohio State. So that happened. So the Gators will be waiting on July 12th. 5-star tight end Caden Prothrow, 4-star tight end Hees Kent, and 4-star linebacker DQ Forkpaw. Are committing on July 12th, August 22nd, Braylon Womack. So those are some names that you could potentially see in the near future, as well as Valden Sohn. So a lot of names, a lot of recruitment that's still going to happen over the next couple of months before the season started, or before the season starts. Any final comments on recruiting before we move on?
No. Hey, hit like, subscribe. Yeah. If you're on Twitter, hit retweet. We'll appreciate everybody for hanging out with us, man.
Yeah, absolutely. We can see who retweets live in the show, and we'll give you a quick shout out. Tim Tebow's a father. Pretty neat.
Girl dad.
Congrats.
Girl dad. Really cool name, too. Where is it? Hold on. I just had it pulled up and then I lost it. But it's just like a badass name. The name is Daphne Rain.
I was expecting something biblical for some reason.
Yeah, no, I can see
that. Listen, Tim is deep in the Bible. That Daphne Rain might have been mentioned somewhere in Ecclesiastes.
I don't. Daphne Rain. Daphne is a biblical name.
It is.
I think Corey was looking more for an Esther.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, a Ruth, Mary,
Ruth would have really hit.
Magdalene.
Like, where's Daphne in the Bible? I'm like.
I don't know. I'm just saying, as much as Tim has read it, like, I would not be surprised if Tim was like, actually, she is.
Beautiful name, by the way. The congrats. Like,
yeah, I got you.
Congrats, Tim. Congrats. Beautiful name. You know,
Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9, in the story of the Tower of Babel.
Babel. Okay, okay.
Yeah. So shout out to Coral Baptist Church, now Church by the Glades, for that education years ago that had that list.
Google.
I knew it was in the Bible before. I just didn't remember. I just know the name Daphne. Anyway, we don't need to get into the religious talk today. So congratulations to Tim Tebow and Miss Universe. Demi, I think is her name.
Demi is her name. Demi and Daphne.
He really doesn't seem to be missing at any part of his life right now. So congratulations to Tim Tebow. Well-deserved. Congratulations. All right, let's get into a quick ad read. Let's go visit our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Use promo code STADIUMANDGALE at checkout. I had a friend of mine the other day tell me he's not a Florida fan. He is a fan of a school that exists out west, but he used our promo code so that he could get a discount, and we appreciate that. So go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code STADIUMANDGALE. Over 100 different colleges and the Indianapolis Colts. They've got the baseball pullover. They got the starter jacket. They've got the corduroy hat. They've got all sorts of shirts. I think they have 6 pages worth of Gator stuff. So go check out homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code STADIUMANDGALE, all one word, at checkout. Ben Shelton today advanced at Wimbledon. So he's had quarterfinals. I made some money on Ben Shelton the other day. So I appreciate that. And
that's crazy. Isn't like tennis a sport where if you're elite like that, you don't even go to college?
I think there's a lot of young players that don't go.
So like for a player to go from college to, I think he's top 10 in the ATP now.
It wouldn't surprise me. He's done really well. His dad was the head coach of the Gators tennis team. He left to go be Ben's full-time coach as well. So Ben
is number 10 overall in the ATP.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, congratulations to him and best of luck in the quarterfinal round in Wimbledon. All right, Nick, I'm pulling up. You got the chance to play.
Real quick. I don't know if you mentioned Kevin Ford committing.
I didn't.
Feel good there. Feel real good there.
Built Ford tough.
He is a
top 100 type you get right there, brother.
Yeah, Kevin Ford, KJ Ford, Duncanville High School, Duncanville, Texas. Prayers to those in Kerrville, Texas. Mm-hmm. 93, he's ranked 93 on 247 in the composite. He's a 116th overall player in the country, number 15 edge, the number 17 player in Texas. He's looking between Florida, Ohio State, Texas A&M as the final. He visited Florida on June 6th. So that commitment is this week. If the Gators can grab him, just another elite grab by the Florida Gators on the defensive trenches there. Nick, you got the chance to play the new NCAA video game that came out today for work purposes. How was it?
Maybe two is lit.
Spent a lot of time in the menu. I have not played a game yet. Just spent a lot of time in the menus.
Very good. A menu merchant.
Yeah, 100% menu merchant. Florida's roster is sort of in shambles. No Laganza Hayward. No
Drake Stubbs.
Drake Stubbs. Some random ass people who are not on the roster.
Okay. Why aren't they on it? I'm out of the video game loop.
You've got to sign into it. So like, who would be somebody like Muiz? Muiz wasn't able to because Texas doesn't have NIL deals. Muiz didn't get to campus until June. So that's after the time for him to sign in. It's like Muiz Tankara is not in the game because he couldn't be. I don't know why Drake or Laganza aren't, because they were here in the spring. But they do roster updates throughout the year. So I would expect those guys to be added at some point.
Month and a half, 2 months range, they update the roster.
Yeah, they'll probably do one more update before the season, like before the actual college football season starts. And then they pretty regularly do them. At like least once a month. Half, 6 weeks. Yeah.
Like 6 weeks, they'll come out with a new update. She got an update, rejuve, and then it'll be updated roster, whether it's injuries or whatever the case may be, roster moves like that, depth chart moves and all that stuff, rating changes and all that. But, yeah, I played the game today. I loved it. You know, I had to go in there with my Gator boys and hop in that quick play. I'm 2-1 on a quick play. Mm. Me and DJ Lagway not playing. I only lost one game because I had to quit and go to work, y'all. So,
that's not really a loss.
Y'all boys tap in if y'all trying to get beat up on, you feel me? But other than that, I love the game.
See, here's the age gap. Yeah, so I had somebody
Twitch
else.
Here. Give everybody access to that
we
Twitch.
Got, bro, when I get back, right? Jordan, we're going to run it. We're going to run it back.
So here's the thing with me. I won't include that, Jordan, but I've had a couple people be like, hey, what's the gamer tag? Let's run games. And I'm like, 36 years old. My beef is not with you. My beef is with the computer. And if I need to, we'll put some sliders up. We'll throw it down on freshmen. The computer's catching these hands. We're going to feel good about ourselves. I'm not trying to go online and get beat and have some 14-year-old talking mess to me online. Can't have that happen. They've been all day. I have a child. I have a job. I'm not putting in the same kind of practice hours that I used to be able to put in.
That was my issue the other day, bro. Like Harlem, he tricks me into playing Madden. It was smoking. Raining. So. Bro, he like comes with this innocent face. Dad, you want to play Madden with me? I'm like, all right, man, sure. Like
all you hear is like, Dad, you want to spend quality time with me?
Yeah. I'm like, I feel bad, man. You don't have a little brother. I had a brother to play with that was a year apart. So I was like, yeah, let's go in here. I always forget. Bro, as soon as we get in there, he gets up like 20 zip. And he just started talking greasy. I'm mad.
It's like I forgot what the controllers are.
Now. Like, I'm like, all right, bro. Like you talking crazy to me. I'm trying to talk trash back. He's still scoring instead.
Right, he's still doing it.
I'm like, man, this game cheating. Like that whole like, nah, bro, I can't do it, bro. Because I used to be really good at video games, but like you said, once you have a family, bro, that shit's out the window, man.
Yeah, you definitely lose your touch. Don't let me hype.
You'll see as you get older. Like,
yeah, I'm about to say,
patient. Be patient.
I see it now. It's still it's levels to this. Like I'm part time sweaty. Like I come on here 9-10 o'clock and get on a game after a long day for like 2-3 hours and I'm done. These boys be on it from as soon as they brush their teeth. They on that video game. I ain't that good,
bro. I saw something on Twitter today. It was a repost of something I think from Reddit. Somebody averaged like 4.5 hours a day every single day since that game came out. I'm like, one video game? Brother. Let me introduce you to some grass.
The first Call of Duty Black Ops. The first Black Ops. It was my last semester of college. I only had 2 classes. I don't know why they put this feature into the game, but you could look up to see how many days you played, how much time you played. I had like 34 days played of Call of Duty Black Ops my senior year of college.
Mm.
Didn't need to know that.
Was.
I don't have that time anymore.
That's bonkers.
Well, yeah, you can't get that much time left on the game.
All right, nasty.
I'm sure you were. The fans are here to figure out what everybody's ranking is. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today. So just want to run through the top players. Jake Slaughter, 92 overall, the highest ranked Gator on the team. Caleb Banks, 90. Lagway, 90. He's the 11th rated quarterback in the country. I'm reading Nick's FloridaVictorious.com article, so go check that out for more information. Then Sapp is a 90. Barber's an 89. Eugene Wilson, 89. Jaden Ball's an 86. Nick, did you say he was the 18th best running back in the SEC in this game?
Yes.
Stupid.
Yeah, he would be fourth string at both Texas schools.
Interesting. Oh. J. Mike, 85. Rod Kearney, 85. Jordan Castell, an 85. Moore, an 84. Cam James and 83. That seems a little high. No offense to him. And then Jacoby Jackson, 83. I just thought there might be some other players above him. I'm excited for Cam James. It was no slight to him.
Already.
Yep. Eugene Wilson, sixth best player in the SEC for receiver. Tank Hawkins is the second fastest receiver in the game at 97. Aiden Mizell at 96, right behind. So go check out Nick's article on Florida Victorious if you are interested in gaming. FloridaVictorious.com and NCAA 26. I think you could buy the early. There's like an early release that came out today, maybe like a deluxe version, and I think the non-deluxe version comes out in a couple days.
Yeah, yep, Jordan spend. Jordan right. Spend that deluxe money.
I spent that little hunt, boy, and they got a good 100 out of me. Well, 130 because I bought that in the Madden. Both of them.
See, I haven't played. That must be nice.
Just know I'm
gonna the other half this economy, Jordan.
It's how the other half lives, Dan.
If you're gonna buy the Madden in 2 months for $70,
I
was just about to spend $100 just for NCAA alone, just to play it today. So why not add an extra $34 and get Madden?
Yeah, we have to go to the mall. I got a 30% off coupon. You know what I mean? We have to go. You know, I get it. Maybe that's why I'm divorced. All right, guys, let's get into running back talk. So the Gators boast the 18th best running back in the SEC, according to EA Sports. But I think the Gators have one of the deepest running back rooms in the country. So I do want to break that down with you guys. Talk to me a little bit about overall, and then we're going to go kind of player by player.
I want to hear Jordan lead with this, man.
Yeah, expert witness here, man.
Yeah, I'll take off.
Let me just exist from the snap to the handoff here, Jordan.
Yeah, man, I think just to summarize it up first before I get into detail, I think we have a really deep and young room. Obviously, we got Jacoby Jackson, who's a little bit on the older side, but he's obviously not even a starter. Well, borderline starter, kind of 1-2 punch kind of deal. But we have a very young room with a very a lot of different skill sets. We got some power backs. We got some receiving backs. We got a dude that can do both. I feel like you really can't go wrong. So overall, just to summarize it up, I feel like I love the spot that we're in because we have a lot of talent in the room. We don't have to have like the feature back kind of deals where we're beating up on one guy, making him the bell cow. And then we got to kind of rely on him when it gets deep in the game. We can keep fresh legs. When the defense is tired, we got fresh legs coming in. I honestly have faith in at least four of them as of now. Haven't seen other ones really play at SEC level yet and been in real game time when it's really flying. But I can honestly give you a good four that I'm confident in playing the game and starting the game for me. So just looking at that, I feel pretty good at where we're at the running back spot, but not getting into too much depth into it yet. But that's just how I overall feel about it.
Okay. Nick.
Yeah, I really like the what Jordan said. I think you have a lot of depth. You have a lot of pieces that I think complement each other as well. Like Jaden Ball can make you miss, but it can also run through you. I think the same thing with Jacoby. Jacoby also last year was just a magnet for the end for the end zone when he got his shot. Treyon Webb coming back from his injury. You got Duke Clark, KD Daniels, Chad Gasper. It's just a super deep room. Someone's gonna have to be like the odd man out in that room. I know Corey was calling for KD, more KD last year, maybe some more this year, but like you're taking carries away from somebody to get him on the field. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. Obviously, I think we've seen the way that they rotate running backs. You're going to get, whether you like it or not, you might get some of that. Ball gets the first series, Jackson gets the second, Webb gets the third. You're going to get some of that. You might not see Jaden Ball until the fourth series again after seeing that first one, especially these first two weeks. I would certainly hope so against the fierce, storied Sharks of Long Island in week one that you would get some other guys in there that Jaden Ball is not carrying the ball much in the third quarter and beyond.
Yeah, I'm with I mean, you see, we all know it's a loaded room, so I don't want to regurgitate a lot of what y'all said, but like, it's a very talented room from top to bottom. I don't think it's a big drop-off if there's a drop-off from guy to guy. Like, overall talent, we all believe that Jaden Ball has the highest ceiling out of everybody in that room, but I think they got a room full of guys that are like all totally different, but all talented. So I think instead of like being like caught up in like snap counts and who gets, you know, the amount of carries, it's more of a role. I can see Webb being more of a fourth quarter, one cut back, you know, old Bama style, Mark Ingram, him coming downhill while defense is tired in the fourth quarter. We're up 10 points and he's the closer. I can see him in that role. Kalen Daniels and Waltez are more of that third down back. You know, they're the more explosive guys in that room, probably got the highest top end speed out of the four guys in that room. And then your 1-2 punch is Jay Barr and, of course, Jacoby Jackson. So I just think they got to put them in, like, roles and not get caught up in the carry. So we're not up, you know, in certain games. You may not see the closer, right? You may have to, like, give Barr more carries depending on what type of matchup it is. But I think you definitely got to feed the bell cow, the most talented guy, the most. I think that's Jay and Barr. But I think the carries between him and Jacoby are going to be somewhat – even after that, you know, like I said, for me, it's just roles, what they play in the offense, man.
Yeah. To go over last season, Jaden Ball, 133 attempts, 670 yards, 5 yards per attempt, 7 touchdowns, 1 fumble. Jacoby Jackson, 95 attempts, 506 yards, 5.3 yards per carry, 7 touchdowns, 1 fumble. Obviously, Montrell Johnson has left. He had 591 yards on 100 attempts, 5.9 yards per carry, 6 touchdowns, and 1 fumble. So you're going to replace that. Treyon Webb, obviously injured most of last season, just 21 total attempts, 93 yards, 4.4 yards, 1 touchdown. And then Kanan Daniels, who you saw more than anything in that Tulane game, 11 attempts, 52 yards, 47 yards, including a beautiful touchdown run against Tulane. Mm-hmm. I do think, obviously, Jaden Ball and Jacoby Jackson are going to be your two bell cows. I am very curious to see how they do split their role or split their reps. I think Jaden Ball, I think, Corey, you mentioned, has maybe a higher ceiling. I love the way Jacoby Jackson plays. I love the way that he fights. And I love the way that he was able to get first downs in positions that Florida found themselves in last year. So both slightly different running schemes in terms of the way that the snap counts have been, in terms of whether they're doing zone or gap runs and the way that they balance them out. Jacoby Jackson was used far much more in a gap scheme than he was in zone blocking than Jaden Ball was. So be curious to see how these numbers ultimately shake out. I'm going to put my hot take out there. I think that Jacoby Jackson has a slightly better season than Jaden Ball this season. Both are going to do great, I think.
I like it. I like that. I honestly feel like we need to kind of use all this talent to our advantage. I feel like we have a wide variety of running backs that can do a lot of things. Obviously, you got some power backs that can still manage to catch out the backfield, which I like. So maybe if Ball is seen as the receiving back and KD is seen as a receiving back, let's throw Jacoby Jackson in there and get him a screen. Because usually when he's in there, he's probably in there for short yardage runs and blocking on third down. They're not expecting him to run a slip screen or anything like that. So I feel like if the offensive coordinator can take his mind and realize to try to manipulate defenses and making them think that they got their upper hand on us and knowing who's in and what they're going to do, I feel like we can use that to our advantage just based upon the skill set we got in the running back room. I feel like everybody can do just about everything. Some do it better than others, obviously. But I feel like overall, like I said, especially the top four, I feel like we definitely, I feel comfortable with any of those guys rolling in. If somebody was to get hurt, God forbid, them boys can roll it and it won't be that much of a drop off, in my opinion.
Joy, what do you think makes this run game effective? Like, I know it's pistol, but what about the running backs and the pistol offense? You know, every year, you know, we can't, a lot of the passing schemes we don't like, and maybe some of the, you know, route concepts we don't like with Billy offense, but we all love the running game. What makes this effective run game, in your opinion?
For us, I got to first just give my boys a shout out, man. I think the offensive line, you got to credit them first. I feel like they do a very great job of opening up holes and making everything right for you. And also the offensive line trusting in the running backs into, like, let's just say it's outside zone to the right. You trying to reach block them to get to the right. You may not have gotten there, but Jaden Ball going to make you right. If you ain't get to reach him and he on your inside leverage, Jaden Ball going to dip in there and get to the outside kind of deal. You feel me? I feel like from the offensive line to the running backs, they've built that rapport with each other so much to where they're comfortable in knowing, okay, I know he didn't reach him here, but I'm going to bait him up just to, you feel me, make my offensive lineman right. And I feel like they're really working off each other. That's what's made our run game been so successful. Obviously, on top of the ability for DJ Lagway to run, I know he didn't run much last year due to his injury, but just the thought of it had teams scared, because that's every defense's worst nightmare when you got a quarterback that can run the ball as well. So, putting that on top of a great offensive line, on top of running backs that got great vision, it's honestly a hard thing to stop. So that's just how I feel about it and how I feel like our run game has been so successful.
Well, what would you prefer to run out of, I formation, pistol, or shotgun?
I would say shotgun, just to kind of spread it out. I feel like we have so much talent at the receiver position. Kind of having the ability to spread the defense out and run on the light box has always been good for me. And, like, especially that we have dominant offensive linemen. Like, there's no need to bring a tight end in to just bring extra dudes in the box. Let's spread it out. Let's do our RPO gang. Let's make them boys pick. If you want to be in the box, we're going to give a bubble screen to Dallas Wilson. You want to play outside? Now we're going to hand it off to a light box and let him work off an inside zone or a power play, something like that, something to where we're getting up to the safety level fast. I feel like our dudes are going to have the ability to make it to the second level real fast this season just based off the talent we got in the backfield and the experience we bring it back on the offensive line.
Who do you guys – go ahead, Nick.
Shout out to and rest in peace to Eduardo Wilson. He got his character changed in EA college football.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, Billy Napier?
No,
Dallas Wilson. They had him look like Wilson. A real Chico.
Oh, sorry, my bad. His
teammates started calling him Eduardo. And you get back a redshirt senior left tackle, a redshirt senior All-American center. A left guard that started all last year, a right guard that started all last year, Bryce Lovett most likely at right tackle. You bring back a ton of snaps, a ton of starts. And then what you lack, like Jordan mentioned it, you know, Dallas Wilson, but what you lack in experience, because outside of Eugene Wilson, there's not a ton of experience at receiver. You have a ton of talent, young talent, and a lot of speed and space out there, but I think it starts up front. Jordan, the running back, always tipping his hat to his offensive line. But I think if you look at Florida's offensive line, as long as you get that same kind of Damian George you got last year at right guard, we went from throwing him out of the stadium when he was at right tackle to being like, okay, maybe just sliding inside is a little bit better there for him. And then Rod Kearney, where does Rod fit in? He's a guy who I'd love to see play and compete, continue to push Damian George at right guard.
Yeah.
It's just a really talented, I think, really talented front five for Florida. Mm-hmm. And then you've got running backs that you can kind of rotate and keep fresh throughout a game. And then the big X factor will be DJ Lagway and what kind of mobility does he have? Can he show? How much can you work in the RPO? Because when you start, like Jordan said, the hardest thing to do is defend a running quarterback or a quarterback who can throw the way he does and then can run. Now you're playing 11 hats on 11 hats, and you love that as a running back. You're not having to worry about the Mike linebacker and you know making somebody miss 2 yards deep just to get back to the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Is this the deepest running back room ever?
I don't know. I don't know about ever. Like you might be able to go back. Not and ever. You had literally, you know, Jeff Demps, an Olympic sprinter with Chris Rainey, and who was that when they were freshmen?
And Emmanuel Moody.
I'm just saying, you got two good guys. I've known our running back room have two good guys at a time, but like I feel comfortable if we go 4 or 5 deep.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think 5 deep might be a stretch.
I can do 4. Give or take one in a freshman.
Yeah, yeah. I think we
skipped the entire Jim McElwain era. Because those running backs weren't at this caliber. Is that what you're saying?
We had good rooms then.
Yeah, now you're just making things up to cause create
got like 4 guys, bro. I feel good about this entire room. I mean how you're 4. Your 5th deep is probably what the freshman, because they will go with Webb as like at the end of the day, Webb is and KD are the next up after the starting 2. You got Waltez Clark, like a guy that I feel good about if we got to get him carries. I feel good about Billy freshman running backs. You feel me? He's showing that track record. But I think this is one of our deep rooms where we can go 4 deep of experienced guys I think could go eat and be productive, not no iffies. Emmanuel Moody was a crime in hindsight 2020.
Such a nice guy, too.
I had hopes so high for that guy. Like the lies I told about you, man, we couldn't get a regular running back at that time. I don't want to get into that.
Fortunately, rabbit hole, Twitter wasn't around back then. I mean, I guess it theoretically was.
We would have been cooking Urban.
Yeah.
Like, he was only getting like munchkin speedsters. That's the only thing we were landing, bro. We couldn't get no traditional backs, bro. We missed out on CJ Spiller. That was a huge miss at that time. Anywho, I just think it's one of our deepest running back rooms. I think it's a legit stance, man. We'll see how the season play out, but I think this is one of our deepest running back rooms historically.
Yes. So I asked ChatGPT because that's just the easiest way to do some quick research on like the history. And so I've got a list of the running back rooms, and I'm looking back. 1996 had Fred Taylor, Elijah Williams, Terry Jackson, and Dwayne Mobley. So I'm going to put that group ahead of this group right now. I think since then, you now have the opportunity where you have 4 guys that we know. Now, there's still some things that are unproven about Treyon Webb and certainly things that are unproven about KD Daniels. And then you look at Chad Gasper and, you know, Waltez Clark, and, you know, you hope that you don't need them much this year. But I think with the combo that you have and what I like about Jacoby Jackson and Jaden Ball, and you know that Billy Napier and the staff care a lot about this, is that they're both like pretty good at pass blocking too. Like they'll throw their bodies, they'll make the necessary pass block, you know, that maybe the Gators haven't had. And that's something that we know is important to Billy Napier. And if you have good running backs that can make good pass blocking, that just allows you to, you know, knock on wood, man, but like be able to disguise some plays and be able to do something that are different, because you know both guys are capable of doing both, right? And, you know, Treyon Webb, there's, you know, coming off injury still, you know, I know that there's a lot of excitement in, you know, his camp about where he might be able to go. I don't know if KD Daniels is ever going to be a great pass blocker, but I think of the two that are going to be the big bell cows of this group, like that's, you need them to be able to do those other things to give you more options throughout the game.
100%. So I got a question for you, Corey. I know you say you feel like we can go 5 deep, but if you was to pick one of our freshmen to be your 5th guy, which one would it be?
Waltez. I think Waltez is just like KD Daniels. Like it's a part of Billy's offense that's been frustrating me where he find that running back out versus nickel or dime DB in the SEC, bro. Like most running backs not finna win that battle, but I think Waltez Clark could run the entire route tree. And he's the size and everything to run it out of the backfield. So I like the way he looked in the spring game. Yeah. He didn't look like a freshman in that game, and he was playing the veteran defense of some sort. So I feel good about Valtez being ready. You know, one of my what ifs is like watching how these guys evaluate, and I didn't really blink eye at it at the time. I didn't think it was a big deal, but I look back on Cam Carroll's injury, like they evaluated the running back position so well. I wonder what he would have been had he got that crazy injury, bro. Now that I look back on it, because these guys don't really miss that running back.
No, they really don't. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Go ahead. Valtez Clark played Plant High School there in South Tampa, played against a lot of great talent. So, you know, he's a proven guy. Chad Gasper, Nick, is he practicing yet? I know he was injured for much of his senior year. Do we know if he's?
I don't recall the spring. Yeah, he is working out, though.
So yeah, Byron Lewis, too.
Byron Lewis, too. Yeah, forgot about him.
Don't forget about my Broward County boy, man.
Yeah, that room is.
I walked up to Byron and I asked him. I was like, "How long did you go to Heritage for?" He goes, "Since kindergarten." And I was like, "Oh, I went to St. Thomas." He was like, "We can't be cool." I was like, "I played baseball. It's fine."
Byron Lewis, RB1 in my book now. After saying we can't be cool, I've never rooted harder for a player.
That's funny as hell.
Dan's gonna be showing up to the tailgate in a Byron Lewis jersey.
We got to invite him to the first Magnitude event. Corey, reach out to his people.
100%. Yeah, I got you, bro. I'm going to make that call.
But I can agree with you on that one, Corey. I think Walter Clark would be that guy for me if I was to pick one of the freshmen. And I won't be surprised if you end up seeing him on some punt return, kick return. I know we got Tank Hawkins with all the speed back there. He can do some things on special teams for us as well. But I feel like if we could mold him to be our special teams guy early, just to get him on the field and get that talent out there, I'd rather run him back on kick return than a receiver any day. Because I know you're going to have better ball security than a receiver.
I like that. What running backs? Why are we just talking? We ain't got to go full kickoff return. But if there's a running back in that room, who would you like to see at kickoff return?
Valtez, for sure. Just off the strength of I don't want to put ball and none of our starter guys there. Because then you got to do kick return and go start the first play of offense. You're probably a little winded already. And you in the first five, you about to get the ball. I'm not saying you ain't in shape, but I'd rather you walking off fresh. We too deep for me to be putting my 1-2 punch out there at kick return. But if I was to pick one just to be off the bench, I would like to see Walter. Like you said, he's a phenomenal route runner. He's an athlete with the ball. I ain't scared. You can feel the kicks. I ain't worried about you catching it. You got the speed to do it. You got the vision to do it. You got the ball security to do it. So I wouldn't be mad at that. I wouldn't be surprised if we're using all of our running backs on special teams as far as just blocking goes and just anything. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I know you said Chad is kind of hurt right now. But
in the spring, Jaden Ball was back there.
I just don't know if I love that, man. I about how deep the room is and everything else, but I feel like that puts you susceptible to if there's a major injury there or at the wide receiver position. I feel like Florida is so deep. You know, I like Kanan Daniels at kick return. You know, punt return is a completely different animal. I don't have any experience, if you didn't know, playing punt returner.
It's real.
Breaking news. But I just know it's a different animal. And I also know that Florida hasn't historically done very much under Billy Napier at punt return. I think we've had a couple of touchdowns.
DK was great last year. I thought DK
was no. I thought DK was fine. Freddie Swain was good. I mean, they've done fine, but
yeah, receivers have done fine at it. But as far as just ball security goes, and just knowing that they tough enough to take a hit, because you got some boys getting 60 yards of rolling steam. Now, if one of them boys mess around and line you up, it can get ugly. So.
And you want to just see the wind taken out of the Gator fans, like, sails as, like, Jaden Ball gets injured in a punt return.
Come on, like, why are we
inconsequential punt return against USA?
Right, let's not talk about that, Dan. Let's not talk about it.
3 weeks that I've done it.
Injury Dan. That's off-season. Injury Dan, bro. You jump down. You pause on that. you got on me for being like, hey, Dan, you're making too much of this. And I'm like, listen, Dan, every week is talking about like, hey, what if I twisted his ankle?
You got to talk about reality sometimes.
Yeah.
Brother, man, if Florida can make through this entire season, which is something that I'm hopeful for, without a single injury, then I will happily donate $10,000 to your favorite charity, Nick. And you, Corey, $10,000 each.
If Jaden Ball doesn't get hurt, you
No. I said if a single player doesn't get hurt, because you don't want to talk about reality, you want to talk about fantasy land. What I bring up is just an example of a player in a situation that historically, once or twice a season, a player does suffer an injury. And I just think that Florida, going back to the main point, is that Florida does have some other options that they could potentially do rather than potentially suffer a what I would call a catastrophic blow.
Yeah, I just think you just got to feed. It's only one football, and you got to just feed touches, man. And I think Ball's going to get plenty of touches. Get one of the hungry running backs, Walters, KD. They want the ball any way they could touch it, Paul. So you get them an opportunity at kickoff return. Punt return is different. I'd rather receive that punt return. Different
for sure.
Guy there, the ball hanging there a little longer. So, but I like just, you know, it ain't worth the risk because we still got so many other talented game breakers that could possibly break up kickoff returns. So
I really liked, they had them split, but they had the three freshmen, not Dallas. So it was Nashawn, VB, and there was somebody else over doing punt and kick on the other field.
Was it J-Mike?
J-Mike was on the, so J-Mike. Jaden Ball. I'd have to go back like through my notes from the spring. J Mike was on the first team. But all the young guys, all the freshmen in the spring were over on the other field. But I love the way Nashawn looked. Obviously VB3's got that kind of shiftiness, that quickness, punt return. And those guys, like, I'm probably closer to the receivers just in terms of the content and stuff we've done.
Yeah.
How much I've interacted with them than I am with the running backs, but like the receivers are hungry to get on the field. I'm sure the same with the running backs, but the receivers I know are hungry to get on the field.
For sure.
I can't wait to talk about Nashawn, brother. I cannot wait to talk about Nashawn. That kid, he slept on. Kid slept on.
Now, here's something crazy about him. We won't spend, it's not a receiver show.
Right. Well, you spent 5 minutes talking about the offensive line, so go ahead.
Hand in hand with the running backs, Jordan will tell you.
They do it. We all together.
That was wide receiver blocking. So go on.
Went to school in Miami and still claims, I think, Rhode Island.
Who? Nashawn?
Yeah, I was born in Rhode Island. Claims
no props
it.
To him.
Yeah. It's on his locker plate. I'd be claiming the 305.
Rhode Island's a beautiful state, man. Where's he from in Rhode Island? Well, I mean, I guess he's probably from Providence. There's not
he
a lot of
living in 305 when he's dying. He lived in the 561. He just went to school down there senior year.
Bro, that's hilarious.
He was at Newman.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, Nashawn was at Newman before you got there. Yep.
Nashawn Montgomery, Rhode Island.
He's definitely from the Northeast. He's like originally from the Northeast.
If y'all can think of one, I had did a little just. I know y'all don't think my running back class was anything special.
That was Corey. That was Corey. Corey said that. No, I would never.
He's from Central Falls, Rhode Island, which is right near Massachusetts and right near Pawtucket.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, go ahead.
But no, I just did a little running back comp with all the running backs that I play with or I've seen in my time there in comparison to the top four guys. So Jaden Ball, Jacoby Jackson, Treyon Webb, and KD Daniels. So my first one is Jaden Ball. I compared him to LaMichael Perine. I feel like he's a complete back in that regard. He can catch out the backfield, runs tough, great vision, all of that. I feel like he reminds me of Perine in that regard. Jacoby Jackson, I kind of compared him to Adam Lane. I put Adam Lane slash Matt Jones.
Clean pants. Clean pants.
Yeah.
Cleaners.
Yeah. But Matt Jones is a little bit on the bigger side.
but he's a little bit bigger than Jakobi
Jackson. A little bit.
Yeah, a lot bit. That's why I kind of put Adam Lane slash Matt Jones. I feel like they both are like tough runners, not as fast top end speed, but they still are like bigger guys. Treyon Webb, I compared to myself. I feel like he's a real tough runner. I ain't seen him play too much in the SEC, but just watching this tape from high school, I feel like he has great contact balance. He run downhill. And so, yeah, I compared him to me. And KD Daniels, I compared him to Malik Davis. Kind of your scat back, real shifty, can really catch out the backfield, run out the backfield. Quick speed is the guy. So I don't know what y'all comparisons would be. Y'all can choose any running back y'all wanted to if y'all wanted to do this, but that's just kind of what I did on my little homework before this.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think it was really disrespectful of Corey to pursue your class the way he did.
You guys are an instigator, man.
I'm going to compare, let's see, Jaden Baugh to Emmitt Smith.
I like that. I like that.
Jakobi Jackson.
Walter Payton.
To Ernest Graham.
Hey, okay. I like that.
I'm going to compare KD Daniels to a tinier Fred Taylor. A smaller Fred Taller.
Just call him Polly Pocket Fred Taylor.
I will compare Treyon Webb to a Seatric face on
C4.
I like it. I like it. We switching it up.
It's a joke, guys. I'm not comparing.
I know.
But there's a little more thought to that. So that's the running back room. Brandon Connell. Said to the Eric Rett. I don't know who. I mean, Eric Rett's great. I don't know who you're comparing to Eric Rett, Brandon, but I do want to give you a shout out. That 2002 class of Ernest Graham, Rand Carthon, Seatric Faison, and Willie Green was also a dynamic force.
I don't remember Willie Green.
You should have. He was very, very fast.
That's on me.
Very fast. From the Orlando area, if I remember. Yeah, Kissimmee. Well, I don't know why I don't just said it that way. Kissimmee. But yeah, 5'9", 200 pounds, but ran like a bowling ball, was fast. So great player there. So that's where we're at with the running back room. Feel free to drop in who you're most excited about for the Gators this upcoming season. But again, a very deep room for the Gators and the staff there on offense. Let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Everybody get your cups out. GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15 at checkout will get you one of the best products that I use every day. It is a keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold.
I got the whole box. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Send me my
Nick
cup,
stole the box. July 27th, if you want a cup, Nick will be giving some away from his personal collection. But go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. Truly is a great product, and it's not just because they're a sponsor of the show. I literally do use them every single day on my way to work. So go check them out, GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15. All right, guys, we're going to go from one of the deepest positions on the field to a position that still has a lot of question marks going into to next season, and that's the tight end position. That group is going to be made up of primarily Tony Livingston and Hayden Hansen. Former four-star Amir Jackson is expected to contribute this year, and then Air Force transfer Caleb Rilios is in that group as well. Micah Jones is the freshman, and then Scott Isaacs, I believe, is the walk-on for that group. Obviously, Florida is just not a super sexy place to play tight end for the Gators. You're going to be using a lot of blocking schemes. We did see a bit out of Hayden Hansen last year going out. We saw a little bit, a very tiny bit with Tony Livingston, but break down your thoughts. I mean, there's probably not going to be a ton, but break down your thoughts on the tight end position for the Gators. Oof. Yeah.
heavily used position.
I do not want to come out in 12 personnel. That's my first take of the room. But overall, I think the room is an extension of left tackle at this point, right?
Yeah.
We sparingly use tight ends in this offense. I think we could use them more. It will help with us recruiting the position if we actually use them more. I want to see if that changed, especially there's, some smoke about Russ Callaway possibly calling plays, him being a tight end coach as well. Like, I want to see if he inserts more tight end activity and whatnot. But for right now, Hayden Hansen is a huge human being. Solid, I think, possession tight end. He's not going to make a whole lot of guys miss or anything like that, but he got durable hands. Tony Livingston, I want to see more from him. He had a good couple of plays here down the stretch, Florida State game, bowl game. But I want to see him be more consistent. He hasn't been playing football for the longest, but he's been playing long enough to be a suitable tight end. Has a basketball background that can go up and get it, post skills, all that type of stuff. So he's a red zone threat. But the young boy is who I got hope in. I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head right now, man.
Jackson.
Correct. I mean, he didn't play spring ball, so I didn't get to see him flash anything. Pause. That's all nuts. I didn't get to see him flash his talent. Ring. That's all nuts. But hopefully he's back and healthy, because he's a guy that you can flex out wide. He's not Kyle Pitts, but I think he brings some of those characteristics of a guy that can get in line, be decent of a blocker. He's still young. Got to put a little bit more size on, but he is a guy that could be a matchup problem if you flex him out. So I just want to see the room be more active this year in the pass game. But it's really in Billy, and this offense is really an extension of the left tackle or right tackle, etc.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that take, as far as like we really don't use them too much. Maybe we can use that to our advantage this year when we play a few teams, maybe when we got a couple hard games and kind of late in the season, every team kind of got our game plan down. We can kind of get some play action, get the tight ends involved, kind of there to get some, pick up some first downs and keep the chains moving. I feel like we should be able to use that as a weapon. All of these guys should be able to catch, like you said. I feel like Hayden Hansen has some for sure hands. We just not using them all the time. So I'm not too big on this room just because we haven't really been using it and showcasing their talent. That doesn't mean that they're not talented. That doesn't mean that they don't have the ability to kind of change the game for us. I'm not losing hope in that regard, but I just think overall we're really not using them too much, so it's kind of hard to say. So maybe we'll change that this year, midway through the season, if we make a deep run into the playoffs, so we'll be able to kind of change our offense and make it a change of pace and make everybody kind of be on their toes on what we're doing next. I feel like every other position is really deep. So if we can really get our tight ends to step up, we'll be a serious problem out here for real offensively.
Yeah, I did miss two guys. They're not on the roster. I guess that roster hasn't been updated. Cam Kostman was in the recruiting class. He committed like right before Christmas, if I remember correctly. He was looking at some Ivy League options, if I remember correctly. He's from Missouri, and then Micah Jones, who you guys just mentioned. He was the number 32 overall tight end in the country. He's a 3-star. So, again, it's probably not a position where Florida is going to go and get, the huge name at that position. It's obviously a heavy blocking position. If you look at Florida, they only threw to the tight end 36. So I guess Arliss Boardingham, who's no longer here. So you're only returning 36 total targets, and you're only returning 726 total catches from last season. So 109 yards for Tony Livingston. Hayden Hansen had 207, and Amir Jackson had zero. So you're not losing a ton of production with Arliss Boardingham being gone. He only had 128 yards on 18 receptions with 26 targets. So you're not returning a lot. Florida has not been able to really turn this position into much under Billy Napier. So I'll be curious to see if any of these guys do step up. Obviously, Amir is very different as a wide or as a tight end than the other two guys. Hayden Hansen is big, but Tony Livingston was a former offensive tackle that got moved to the tight end position. So very curious to see. It's kind of surprising to me in the offense that Billy Napier runs that they don't use a tight end for more in the flats or to get some additional yardage that way. You just don't see much. You see them running relatively open often. It just doesn't ever seem to be much of a target for Billy Napier. So until something proves different, I don't see really any difference.
I think they need to, man. It's just, you look around the country, bro, like this, most teams that are in these runs, they utilize the tight end. It's an opportunity to get a big playmaker And I think we, like I said earlier, I think we can recruit the position better if we utilize the position better. It'll help us on the trail, but it's an opportunity to get a big guy that's like when we face Georgia, man, they got these 6'6 robots that are just, you know, running 4.4 40s, and it's a bad matchup for your linebacker, your DB. Everybody on the field can't guard this monster. So I would like to be able to jump into those sweepstakes of getting those matchup problems, you know, especially after the Kyle Pitt years where we had the Jordan Reeds of the world. Like we've had some tight ends. Cornelius Ingram, the tradition that's been here at Florida to have dynamic playmakers at the tight end spot. So I would like to get back to that.
81.
Correct.
Yeah, there was a I put it on the message board, so it's coming out now. If you weren't on the Florida Victorious message board, but I remember talking with Hayden Hansen at the end of last year before the bowl game, and I was talking to him about I think Arliss or whenever it was that Arliss went in the portal. Who's that? Bowling Green now. And I asked him, I was like, well, what about you? Are you thinking about going in the portal? And he was like, no. He's like, I'd go somewhere. I'd start all over. he said, he's like, I do everything that's asked of me in this offense. And NFL teams see that. NFL teams aren't looking for me to have 60 catches next season because that's not what our offense is. So I hear what you're saying, Corey, and I hear what you're saying, but like, that's the tight end telling me right there that like, that's not our offense. That we're not going to do that. NFL teams aren't worried about me catching 60 balls because that's not what I'm going to be asked to do in the offense. I'm picking up blocks. I'm helping in the run game. It's just what it is. I'm not saying you're wrong. And there are guys like Amir Jackson. There are these 6'4 hybrid receiver tight end freak playmakers like Kyle Pitts. Like Dan Mullen got Kyle Pitts, had to redshirt him for the first year. He was working out with the receivers. And then all of a sudden, 2020 comes and you're like, who's this alien? Like those, there are guys like that in the state of Florida. It's just not what this offense is.
The offense gotta like evolve a little bit. That's all I'm saying. Like,
hey, that, it's a Pokemon and it's blocker. Still stage one there.
No, I think it'll evolve, man. I do. I really do think so, bro. It's just like, you know, you just got to. It's just too much of a position that can be used, you know, as an asset, and it just can't be an extension of the extra guy on the field to block, especially when you want to use 12 personnel. If you want to go two tight ends, I ain't mad at that. I'd rather we in the state of Florida. I'd rather go four wide and put these, you know, these pieces on the outside. Let's go. Let's make it a track race. But if you got me two tight ends that are robots like Georgia been recruiting, then yeah, like I don't mind going two tight ends. I got 2.65 guys that can run a 4.4, 4.5, 4 and I jump everybody. But if we just got two tight ends on the field that are pretty much extra linemen and we can't get vertical, it puts the offense in the box a little bit. That's all.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, I think when we say stuff with our platform, people take it and run with it. And I don't think it's going to change. I think what we've seen from the tight end position is what we will continue to see. I think the offense can change and evolve with DJ and running more RPOs as long as he's healthy and he can run. I just don't see it happening
at tight end. Well, they're trying. That's why they got Amir Jackson. Right, he's not their traditional tight end.
Yeah, agree.
So they're trying to evolve the offense because there's no reason to go get Amir Jackson because he's nothing like the other guys in that room.
Kostman's a little bit like that too. Don't sleep on the Ivy League offense. Sneaky back.
Nick, just talking about being responsible content creators.
Sneaky fast.
We've got long term
sneaky fast though. Yeah. Lunch pail kind of guy.
I am waiting for his name to I'd be more than happy to agree with that. We don't have much on him.
He's gonna redshirt. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. No, you're not breaking any news.
You can scoot a little bit. You can scoot.
He can.
Roughly the same melanin in my skin, but can scoot on that scale.
Well, we'll see. You know, I think who are you guys? Is this your year for Amir Williams to make an impact? Amir Jackson to make an impact. I mean, this is the year Florida's going to do something different at that position to step up. I would think, right? Like, you now have somebody. He's going to be a redshirt freshman. You didn't see much out of him last year, obviously, but he is built differently than the other guys.
I hope so, but I didn't see anything in spring, so my expectations are low. To be real, if I'd have seen maybe him active, I know injury is injury, but you gotta be out the tub to make the club. he's in the injury tank a lot. So until I see it, I know that's, to me, it seems like that's the direction they want to go, and I think like our highest upside as far as offensive playmakers in the room is Amir Jackson. Kid's talented; he can run. You know, whatever routes you need him to run, he damn near a receiver. Similar, he's not Kyle Pitts, but similar mode. But him missing spring was a blow to my expectations. So they're very minimal, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and he was literally hurt first practice. I watched it happen, and I was like, dog, no.
That's tough.
Don't be serious. You're okay. And then, like, very modified, limited the rest of spring.
Downer. I don't love that.
Yeah.
Man.
Good now. Awesome workout now, but like Jordan will tell you, it's just like you don't want to get hurt unless you're like I remember watching spring Dominic Easley's first or last year, and Muschamp was just, I mean, obviously being a defensive guy, Muschamp was like, hey, get that first rep in every defensive tackle drill we do and then get off. Then get off my field.
Relax your behind.
Right, yeah, get away, because I think he was coming off an ACL too, and there's like, listen, get your one rep and then get out of here. But yeah, Amir Jackson's a talent. He's come a long way in his blocking, still not what they want as a blocker. But flex him out.
Yeah, use him in a play action, man. Get him involved in some play action passes. Let him block a little bit just so defenses don't think every time he's out there is play action pass. Let him get a run play and run away from him if he's that bad at blocking. I don't care. But you got to kind of mix it up into our defense. We're not so predictable on offense, and we got to kind of use that to our advantage if we can.
No doubt.
Yeah, that's where we're at. All right, perfect. So there you are, running back and tight end room. Nick, we are running a little bit short on time tonight, but I do want to go over baseball. Had a lot of commitments recently to rebuild their roster going into next year, so I want you to cover those here in a second. Jordan, you're going to have Song of the Week, so think about that coming up. But finally, want to give one final shout-out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com. Go tell them the friends at Stadium and Gale sent you. They are doing two shirts for $30 right now. So go check them out. They're in Gainesville on Archer Road, or you can visit them at alumnihall.com. Again, that's alumnihall.com in Gainesville on Archer Road, or alumnihall.com. Nick, give us the update on baseball. Sorry.
Baseball. Yes. So Florida, they missed out on the kid I really wanted, Carson Tinney, catcher from Notre Dame. I think his on-base percentage was nearly 500 last year. Don't get that much from a catcher, double-digit home run kind of guy. But baseball does go out and get their shortstop, kid from Columbia, Sam Miller. You get a third baseman, Ethan Surowiec. Not sure how to pronounce that one yet. But another kid who can really hit the ball. I think you solidify your infield with Surowiec, Miller, Cade Curlin coming back off of his shoulder injury, and then Brendan Lawson, who is absolutely torching baseballs up in the Cape right now. Florida's gotten a really good signing class. We get the Major League Baseball draft next week. So a couple guys that I think we need to be on the lookout for are Jake Clemente. If you can get him slipping past maybe the eighth round, you get Jake back to come and pitch out of the bullpen for you for 2026. I keep getting thrown off. Baseball's 2026 next season. And then also Luke Hayman. I think Luke Hayman should go. Just seems to be like slept on by major league teams. Wasn't invited to the combine, which is crazy to me. I know he was injured, broke his hand against or broke his arm against Alabama when he was hit by a pitch. But like MLB teams have their doctors at the combine and they would want to get him checked out, knees, arm, shoulder, everything checked out. So it was weird that he wasn't invited to that. Makes me hope, probably not. But as I always am, Dan, optimistic and positive, trying to put it into the universe that Luke Hayman comes back to Florida. That'd be exceptional if he does. And then the two guys in the signing class, really two guys that you need to look out for, Aaron Watson, right-handed pitcher. He was committed to Virginia.
Country music singer Aaron Watson?
No. Different. Maybe related. We'll have to ask. Ask super producer Dan.
Dan, I don't think so.
Right-handed pitcher Aaron Watson was a Virginia commit. Their coach left. He flipped top three round potential. If he's top three rounds, crazier things have happened. Brady Singer was a second round pick, came to school. Carson Whitson was a ninth overall pick, came to school. Don't expect him to get to campus, but would be awesome if he did. And then Jordan Yost, if the name sounds familiar, that's because his brother plays outfield for Florida, Hayden Yost. So younger brother, middle infielder, I say middle infielder, but you could throw him at third base as well. Was a kid who, prior to the spring, prior to his senior year of high school, had him sharpied in as getting to campus, kind of blew up in the spring. Right now, I think he's the 50th overall prospect. According to MLB.com, getting Miller's commitment was like a great safety blanket, great security net, safety net. If you don't get Yost to campus, but if you can get Jordan Yost to campus, that's going to be your shortstop probably of the future. Florida's going to be good. They're always going to be good. They were good last year, even when the sky was falling. They got much better when I was in the hospital. So that was fun to not have to write about. I had to write about the worst start in Kevin O'Sullivan's tenure. Mm-hmm. But they're going to be good again. There's a lot to watch. So the draft is next week. It's always, right around the same time as the All-Star game.
It's how many rounds? 10.
I know, yes.
Used to be like 3,000.
I think there's more than 10. There used to be enough rounds that Jeff Driscoll and Felipe Franks got drafted.
Right.
Now there's less. The way that it works is every team gets a pool of money that they can use, and that's for the first 10. I think there's like 20 rounds, maybe 15 to 20 rounds, something like that. But once you get out of that pool money, then there's like a hard cap on what guys can be offered. And that's when you get guys. So like last year, Colby Shelton, once he's not a top three round pick, Florida Victorious, his NIL package can probably be more than what a team could offer him after that. I need more than 5 minutes to explain the MLB draft and that, but those are the four names to watch. Clemente, Watson, Yost, Hayman, going 1-for-4. Getting one of those four back next year would be great. Anything more than that is exceptional.
Okay. J5 still alive.
I love it. All right, man. Well, we're going to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. We appreciate everybody for watching. Remember the event on July 27th.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, no. I know we've got some announcements. Hold on. I know we got. So go visit us on the 27th, us High Top Sports and Gators Breakdown, with a number of current Florida Gators and hopefully a few alumni as well. So again, that is going to be at posh.vip. You can find that on all of our social media, as well as in the YouTube comment section here as well. Do want to announce Asa Turner got approved for his seventh year to be able to play this year. He's been around the program, so expectation is he'll probably still be on the team going into next year. And then, Nick, do you want to do the other final two?
I like that, by the way. Like, I know, like, there's a lot of takes about him. He left early last year, but our room gets really young after the first two guys. Like, you got Jordan Castell, you got Thornton, starting safeties. But if something happens to one of the guys, not the full Dan, and go injury. Something happens to one of those guys, you go to freshman right away, right? So I like Asa to be able to come in, you know, from a maturity standpoint in that room, for sure.
Yeah. And teaching and coaching and all of that that goes on outside of the film room. Go ahead, Nick.
Two birthdays. Two national champion birthdays. Todd Golden and Tommy Hawk share a birthday, July 7th.
10. I'm out and send that boy a gift, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. That's my nephew, man.
We might have to do some a collab here. Tommy Hawk, I just learned, loves fishing. Working on some Florida Victorious content, hooking it with Hawk.
Nice.
Okay. Interview series, Tommy out on the boat.
That's maybe nice.
Maybe get Harlem up on the boat. Maybe have Harlem interview.
There you go. I actually seen, speaking of Amir, Amir was doing some bass fishing when they had their little week break, bro. I was checking out his Instagram, bro. So that'll be fire content. I think he's from Georgia.
Amir? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Georgia boy, man.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Happy birthday to Todd Golden and Tommy Hawk. We appreciate everybody for watching. Thank you so much. We'll see you at the same
Song of the Week.
Song of the Week. Song of the Week.
Jordan has to do Song of the Week.
I'm Drake. What did I miss? He's throwing crazy shots. He's going at LeBron. He's going at Kendrick. He's going at everybody. So, y'all boys.
Why? Like, why did he not learn?
Yeah, he starts off. He starts off the song being like, "I don't care if you like me." Like, yes, you do. Yes,
well, that's
you
why
do.
You do care. You that's do. Why you said that you don't. You know,
what I mean? Exactly. You certainly care. You made an entire. First off, you did an Australian tour while Kendrick paraded over your court.
You're going in.
No, you're right. You're right, Jordan. We should. Is this the one where he talks about Florida Gator?
Yes.
Yeah.
About the ass being natty like a Florida Gator. I got to hear it because I don't, you know.
Yeah. He's basically trying to, you know, he tried to let it die down. He's not going at Kendrick anymore. He's going at all the people that were supporting Kendrick. And he's like, y'all used to be with me, but he going against me.
That's right. Don't get on the side of the winner, bro.
Thank you. Come on.
You should have put out better bars and people would have been on your side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When he did the back-to-back track and he buried Meek Mill, like, that's how Meek felt, bro. Like, you can't take shots at everybody.
Girls tour.
That was nasty. That was nasty.
Drake the pop star, he's always going to be like Kendrick had his moment. Kendrick also, I know K-Dot. K-Dot's next album will come out in 2033. Drake will have 47 more number ones, but Kendrick's an artist. He's also about that, and Drake realized, like, oh, this isn't Meek Mill. This isn't the guy who was at Diddy's house hanging out. This is an actual hip hop artist. Let me go tour Australia while he shouts me out during the Super Bowl.
Rob, your question is, Florida have enough scholarships for Asa Turner? Yes.
The SEC is only allowing 85 scholarships. I don't know why. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter. They'll be at 85 scholarships. The roster limit is 104. So you'll have those walk-ons. He can be a walk-on. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, he will be.
Intuition, though. Like,
listen.
I kid. Let's get out of here.
We'll figure it out. Stop asking questions. Make people.
No, Rob, you can ask questions. We appreciate Rob for being a subscriber to this show. Thanks, everybody, so much. We'll see you same corner, same time next week. Peace.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.